What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sunday. So I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, mental health, finance, and business.
It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
And today we're talking to Ben Ali. This brother is the founder of the Ascend Movement. This brother is the author of Ascend, the Black Man's Guide to Elevating Success, Purpose. We're going to definitely have to talk to this brother about that. This brother's an author. He's a legacy entrepreneur. You know, we hear about entrepreneurs, but what's a legacy entrepreneur? We're going to find out about that today. And I'm going to give y'all some information on this brother background. This brother's out of DC, Chocolate City. He's the son of the founders of Ben's Chili Bowl. When we're talking about Ben's Next Door, we're talking about Ben's Chili Bowl Foundation. And I love that there's a foundation. So we need to talk about that, how legacy businesses set up foundations and the importance of that. So you know what? I'm ready to go on and get this brother going. So without further ado, Ben Ali, welcome to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Welcome, welcome. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Definitely, man. So hey, look, I'm going to jump right in, man. You're the author of Ascend, the Black Man's Guide to Elevating Success and Purpose. Let's talk about that off top. What was the impetus of you writing that book?
Corey, I turned 60 years old a couple of years ago. And after 40 years in the family business, 40 years grinding, running the store, you know, building the business, representing DC here and for all of our world travelers and our locals, I said, what's next for me? Right? I think everybody has to sometimes say, what's next? What's left on the plate? What do I have left to do in my lifetime? And the revelation really came to me. I think it's a calling to help younger Black men, to help them to rise and to grow. There are too many people in our area, I know, and I think across the country, who are just suffering, young men who are just not living their best life, and there's no real reason for it, right? They're operating out of not knowing. Whether they didn't have I had a great dad in my life. I had great mom and great dad and great, you know, mentors and teachers. I went to great schools. I had that luxury of having people teach me and bring me up. And so this is my time to pass that word on, to pass those messages on, to give them a blueprint, Corey, a blueprint for success, because it's just, you know, it's a blueprint for success in terms of things that you have to do to get there. There's step-by-step procedure, just like you're doing anything else. If you follow the procedure, this is a guidebook, you're going to be wildly successful beyond your wildest dreams.
Oh, that's great information. And I know we're going to have to buy the book, and my listeners, and we're going to definitely support and buy the book. But give me a tip or two. You know, we're trying to elevate. I mean, you know, we're living in a tariff, high inflation society. You know, we're trying to make ends meet. So give us, as a Black man, then we're dealing with mental health. But I'm going to ask you that question next. But, you know, from a financial perspective as a Black man, what tips can you share with us right now?
Well, you know, Corey, it's related. That's my secret sauce, is that it's related. It's not the mental health versus the financial health. It's all one thing. And so when I ask you, and I'd say, what is the financial health? I say, what is your value? And so I ask everybody, all the young men I deal with, I say, look yourself in the mirror and tell me how much you think you're worth. Are you worth 100,000? Are you worth half a million? Are you worth a million? How much are you worth? Because it starts with how you see yourself. How much do you think you're worth? And I tell them all, I said, I know for a fact that you're worth $10, $20 million or more. I know that for a fact, everybody. I said, so if you see yourself as worth that much, you'd behave differently. It starts with how you see yourself, how you talk to yourself, and what you believe to be true about yourself.
That's great information. Oh, yeah. So we got one today, fellas. Black Men Sundays, man.
Come on.
And yeah, let's go, man. And, you know, we're talking about, because, you know, the last week we had a mental health psychotherapist on the show. And, you know, I was looking at your press kit and I said, mental and spiritual wealth ignored. Really? Let's have that conversation in our community, because, you know, we talk about generational wealth, but then you have to deal with generational poverty, and then you deal with generational trauma. And, you know, built into that is generational mental health. So let's talk about why mental and spiritual wealth is ignored, and what's the cost of that for the Black man in our community?
Right. Well, you know, we're living in a in a money society, right? Everything is about the money, and we are given media every day that's preaching to us, telling us, everything, buy this, buy that. It's a very consumerism society, and we are being sold, and we're being sold a bill of goods that's not true, including that we're not worth much. That you can't do this and you can't do that, and you're black and there are no opportunities. All lies. These are all lies. So this is a very spiritual book in a way. I'm not saying I'm that religious in Christianity or Islam or any one particular religion. What I'm saying is that God has made each of us perfect. If you realize the miracle of what we're working with, if each child can realize that God gave them a supercomputer for a brain. It's a supercomputer. We're all using maybe what, 15% of our brain, 12%, 18%. Scientists can argue over that. We are not using what God gave us. We have miraculous bodies, miraculous minds, miraculous souls. And if we tap into our inner self, if we were able to tap into our inner self and really realize what we're working with, tap into that, the sky's the limit. So my first lesson in the book, my first chapter in the book is on healing, because just what you said, a lot of young black men and black men, period, are hurting. We're hurting, right? There's been this trauma. There's been lots of things we've been through as black men, even before we were born, going back to, generations of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade and what was done to us in this country. Our fathers, our grandfathers, our great grandfathers. We carry some of that with us. And then in your lifetime, a lot of kids have been through a lot. A lot of kids have seen violence they never should have seen. They've been exposed to drugs and things that they never should be a part of. They haven't had the benefit of a full childhood with good rearing. And so the first book is on healing, because wherever state you're in, whatever position you're in order to move forward, you can't live in the past. Okay? And so a lot of people are living in the past. When you talk to them about, well, why aren't you more successful? Why aren't you doing your best life? And if a person says anything about the past, well, my mom, or my dad, my girlfriend, this guy, school, the white man, the police. If he says any of that, guess what? But in order to move forward, in order to take a step forward into your new best life, you got to let that past go. It's not doing anything for you, but holding you back. And there are techniques for how to let it go. So the book starts with healing first.
That's wow. Okay, great information, man. And I had to start off with the book, but let's take a rewind, man. Like I said in my intro, you're the son of the founders of the Ben's Chili Bowl, out of DC for the brothers, because our show's worldwide. For brothers that don't know, talk about Ben's Chili Bowl and the legacy that it created for you.
So Ben's Chili Bowl was started in 1958 by my parents, Ben and Virginia Ali. But it was started on the U Street corridor, which was one of the Black Wall Streets in America. So you're talking about 250 to 300 Black businesses going back from early 1900s. You're talking about Howard University, which the Mecca, which was started in 1867. So as African Americans came up from the South to the North for better jobs and opportunities, U Street and Washington, D.C. was a great place. It had the federal government. It had lots of art, history, and culture, and education. And so U Street was a very famous corridor for African Americans. And let me tell you a secret about that is that when these, due to segregation, due to the fact that we had to rely on each other, we had everything. At that time, there was all kinds of businesses. And guess what? We were together. Why? Because we had blue collar and white collar side by side. Right, we had the doctors and lawyers right next to the policeman or the fireman or the trash man, and we lived together in unity, right? And we uplifted each other. And guess what? Talking about financial literacy, et cetera, that black dollar circulated. It circulated many, many times in our community before it left our community, because you couldn't really, go downtown or do some of the other things. So we were forced in a way to be better and to support each other more. So that was one of the secrets. So this Chili Bowl opened in 1958. At the time, it was called Black Broadway when we opened up, because of the jazz greats that played up and down U Street, Duke Ellington, Cab Calloway, Lena Horne, Fats Domino. These guys were regulars in the Chili Bowl because they played up and down the street all night long. And we stayed open from day one till 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning, all night long. As a matter of fact, last night, we still closed at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're very well known in D.C. and around the world. We have tourists come from around the world visiting us all the time, tour groups around the country and around the world. And so we've been here for 67 years. And so that's a good long time to be someplace. And so we're so proud to have served our community for all these years. And now we get lots of tourists. We've had every star come in there, including Obama. And when President Obama came in the Chili Bowl, it was the first place he came when he came to Washington, D.C. When he flew into Washington, the next day, the very first public place he came was Ben's. And so that hit the newspapers all over the country. And for inauguration, people all over the country were visiting, and it was a line around the corner for Ben's Chili Bowl. And we have those lines oftentimes, and we have celebrity sightings and fun stuff going on all the time. So we're just happy to be here and happy to have served our community. It's really a legacy of service. Mom and Dad, that's what they really taught me, is community and service. And that's what we're all about. 7 days a week, almost 24 hours a day, we serve our community, and we've done that for 67 years, and that's what it's all about.
And as I'm sitting here listening, it kind of reminds me of a show we did a couple of months ago where the brother has a restaurant, but he's teaching his kids how to run it. So he would compare it to other ethnicities where you might go pick your food up or you might sit in to eat, but you would see the kids in the back doing their homework. So what advantages? Because you are, legacy. What advantages did you have growing up seeing how a business is ran, how to run it, and how to keep it executing respectfully in our community? Like, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, my dad was from Trinidad. He ended up at Howard University, where he graduated from. My mom was from Virginia on the farm. And so, they were both by nature, as were many Black people back in the day, what we would today call entrepreneurs, right? And, a fancy name of entrepreneur for a person who starts their own business. And what it really meant was you couldn't get a job, right? So you were forced to go hustle. You want to feed your family, you better go figure it out. And that meant going into business for yourself. And so, whereas my grandfather was a farmer in rural Virginia, a 300-acre farm, my grandparents on the Trinidad side were into real estate and gas stations and other businesses as they worked their way up. So, you did whatever you could, but you tried to open your own business to control your destiny. The secret of entrepreneurship is to control your destiny, to have a bigger say in what you're doing. You can't get fired, right? You don't have a boss that you don't get along with. It's your show to run, and you're betting on yourself, right? So that's the story of the Chili Bowl entrepreneurship. And my dad and mom taught me these lessons of business growing up, like you said, and we were in it from day one. And my dad was always pushing to continue to maintain an excellent quality, give great service at a fair price, and to be community oriented with your customer. And what we've done since then is we've opened up a full service restaurant, Ben's Next Door. We have franchise operations in National Airport and Reagan Airport and baseball stadium and the convention center. And we've even had the luck to go into retail business lately. So diversification is a theme for business. And so we're in retail in our local grocer, who's Giant Foods. So we're in 160 Giant Foods selling our products, our chili and our half-smoked sausages, both cold in the cold case, as well as chili on the hot bar. So yeah, we always keep moving, always keep striving, always keep trying to do better and providing more service to more people.
Great information, man. And I also see you guys have the Ben's Chili Bowl Foundation. Let's talk about that because I see a lot of businesses have foundations attached and the importance of a foundation.
Yeah, so probably about 10 years ago, well, actually more than that, almost 17 years ago, it was our 50th anniversary, and we just recognized the work, the service that mom and dad have put in over the years. Like, just like you said, having kids doing their homework, giving them $5 for every time they get an A, encouraging them, mentoring their staff and anybody else who came in, giving them love and encouragement and nourishment. And we said, as well as a good meal, right? And so we said, let's try to formalize that a little bit more, that give back. Let's formalize us being on boards and foundations by forming our own foundation so that we could help more people, raise more money, are here to raise our consciousness, right? Raise our awareness about ourselves, about the world we're living in, and how to help each other. So it's really raising our consciousness is a big thing in the book, as well as awareness, right? Being more aware, paying attention to what you're doing, paying attention to how you spend your time, right? How do you spend your time? Forget about your money for a minute. How do you spend your time? Okay, so right now we're watching this podcast, right? We're participating in this podcast. You're hosting it with intentionality. I believe that God has put that in you to do, and that the services you're providing with this information that you're giving to brothers all around the country and the world is important and can change people's lives, right? And so you're doing this and I'm doing this. We're doing it with some intentionality and not, and no knock on all our, on our brothers. We participate as well. Brothers will watch six football games this weekend and love every minute of it. But did they spend 1 hour, 60 minutes working on their finances? Did they spend 1 hour, 60 minutes working on how to improve themselves by gaining a better, you know, reading or learning or growing a skill? So how you spend your time is so valuable to teach people. How you spend your time, where is your focus, right? Because if you say you one of the big things in the book is to say, what do you really want? Because most people can't even answer that very basic question. So it's being more reflective, being more self-aware, and say, asking yourself, what do you really want? Not just $1 million, not just a big house, not just a vacation. What would really make you happy? What do you really want out of your life? What do you really want out of yourself? Everything is geared towards distracting us from our purpose so that we can, what are we doing? Every time we watch a football game, who's making money, right? Lots of America's making money. Every video game we play, someone's making money. Everything we purchase, somebody's making money. Taking money out of our pockets, by the way, and making money. And that's just where they want us. That's the game that's being run on us. There's a game being run. Distract them, entertain them. And it really doesn't provide that happiness. And some of us find that along the way. Sometimes, you know, we're guided to it, we're pulled to it. But many young people never really find that. And that's the cause of unhappiness, is not finding your purpose, not finding your gift. We're all given tremendous gifts by God, and we're all different. So many of us, a simple question to ask yourself, or for people to ask themselves, that I don't think most people really even know, is what do you want out of life? What do you want in life? Not $1 million, not just a house, not just, you know, to never have to work again. What would truly make you happy? What is your purpose? And to find out what is your gift, and that we all have a purpose in life, and to find those gifts and to fulfill those purposes is what we're here for. And it brings you true fulfillment. So I try to shine on the young men, and particularly their self-worth, right? Because a lot of people have low self-esteem. They may even have, a gentleman told me something one day, and I thought it was interesting. He said, some of us have a lot of confidence because we got some swag, or we can, you know, we can play some ball, or we could get a girl, but we lack self-esteem. Are we applying for that next level job? Do we see ourselves as being able to have a $1 million home and a beautiful family and to travel all over the world? Why not? Why not? You're as good as anybody on this earth. God has made you special and gifted and talented, and we stopped believing in ourselves, and we stopped dreaming, and we stopped allowing ourselves because we've been disappointed so many times. We've been told this over and over and over, that we don't have a high worth and we're not able to do this. And you know what? And guess who shoots us down as much as any white man, as much as any system? Guess who shoots us down? Ourselves. We get to a point where we say, no, I can't do that. I didn't finish college. No, I can't do that. I don't have enough money to do that. Stop telling yourself no and start asking yourself more open-ended questions. Like, but what if I could though? But is it possible? Allow yourself, you know, time to dream and time to stop shooting yourself down and stop letting other people shoot you down. As a matter of fact, you know, this book is about self-discovery because, and I say oftentimes, stop listening to outside and negative forces. Stop it. Turn it off. Turn off the noise. So, you know, we are, as I said, we have a supercomputer in our head, and what is super? Everything is thought. Everything is mindset. The amount of money you make is based on your mindset. Car you drive, the house you drive, the lady you're with, everything is based on your mindset. And a lot of us, younger, older people, need a shift in mindset. I said, so what's the difference between a man who's making $100 a day, man who's making $1,000 a day, man who's making $10,000 a day, and a man who's making $100,000 a day? It's just mindset. This person is focused on making $100,000 a day. This person is only focused on making that $100 a day. He's never even considered that it's possible to make $100,000 a day. Well, you can't hit a target you're not aiming at. What if? And no matter what your circumstance, I don't care if you were locked up, I don't care if you got one arm, I don't care if you were an abused child. Google, use YouTube and Google as some information. If you're not a big reader, a lot of us aren't big readers. I encourage reading books. You're not a big reader, start just being inquisitive. Start Googling, start YouTubing, start listening to books on tape. Who was incarcerated with one leg and abused and is worth $10 million? Somebody. It's going to give you an answer. It's going to show you some people, and you're going to say, well, if he could do it, why can't I do it? Elon Musk, or nobody has a better model brain than you. It's capable of learning everything. What's the difference? The programming. What are you programming your brain with? Or are you programming it at all? Are you letting yourself be programmed? So what is the programming? Input, output, right? Good things in, good things out. We're listening to negative radio, negative television, negative things your friends are saying, negative things your old lady's yelling at you about, or whatever it is, negativity, Trump, Trump, Trump all day long, and Palestine and Israel all day long. And then you say, I got anxiety. I'm depressed. Well, no wonder you're depressed. You just took in 1,500 tons of negativity all day long. Turn it off. Leave those people alone. Stop answering the phone call for that negative person who's calling you. And start programming bit by bit positivity, prayers, affirmations, motivational speaker, anything you're interested in learning about. Start programming yourself intentionally, positively, and stop being distracted with all the distractions and the negativity. And if you just start that, it's sort of like I say, it's like an athlete. When we're teaching young kids to be athletic, we say, dude, put the ice cream and candy bar down and walk around the block. Do a push-up. Tomorrow, do two. It's just starting wherever you are. There's no circumstance in which you can't improve 1,000% and have whatever you want. Even if you're older, even if you have some dysfunction or some problem, doesn't matter. There is a way. There's an answer for every question. There's a solution to the problem. If you believe, if you believe. And so we're going to work on our faith by prayer, by we're going to work on our self-confidence by affirmations. We're going to work on our healing by affirmations and letting it go, and prayer and letting it out. We're going to work on these things, and guess what we're going to work on? Every day, because our habits make us. Good habits make us, and bad habits break us. If you replace that Coca-Cola with a glass of water, right? If you replace something negative with something positive, it's just going to add up. All the positivity is going to add up. It's going to can build you up, and you'll see what you can do. I believe in you. I tell all the young brothers, I said, all I believe in you. I believe in you more than you believe in yourself. I need you to believe in yourself more and work on yourself. There's a saying that says, once you're working on yourself more than you're working on your job, that's when you'll be successful. Work on yourself. Continuous self-improvement, continuous knowledge and learning. Continuous spiritual development, physical development, mental development. Work on yourself. If you just think about the examples of someone you admire, and mentors are always good to have. But if you said, you know what, most kids say, you know, man, Michael Jordan was the man or Kobe was the man. Just think about it. And now study their lifestyle. Study what they did, how much work they put in, how much practice, how much belief, how much visualization. You ever hear about those athletes who will visualize themselves winning the championship? And kids on the playground will go, you know, we're down by one. Ali's got the ball. Five, four, three, two. On net. You have to visualize yourself winning. You have to boost yourself up. I tell the kids, nobody's coming around to give you a pat on the back and tell you how great you are. You got to do that for yourself. I introduce them to somebody who can change their lives forever. I'm going to tell you, this is the one person, the one singular person who can change your life forever. And I take him right to the mirror. That guy, go look in the mirror and look that guy straight in the eyes every day and have a conversation with him. What are we doing today? God made you great. What are we doing today? Are we winning today? Are we positive today? Are we making that money today? What are we doing today? You look, have a relationship with that guy and God and forget everybody else till you get yourself together. Then you can start bringing on your team of like-minded individuals. These are just life lessons, Corey. I didn't make them up. And I'm going to tell you a big secret here. This is a big secret and everyone's not ready for it, but it's a big secret. And as I get older, I can't say that I did this when I was younger, but meditation or quiet time is where you can learn the most. I have a saying, I say, you'll learn more with your eyes closed than you ever will with your eyes open. People say, the hell are you talking about, Mr. Ben? If you close your eyes, how many times have you spent your time with yourself, eyes closed, 30 minutes, an hour? And what I mean by that is when you spend time with yourself, as you're doing this self-reflective journey, and you realize that, you know, our connection to God, or our connection to the universe, use the universe as a term if you're not religious. I said, we are connected to the, we're energetic beings, right? We're all made out of energy. Everything from a molecular level is energy. So when you talk about quantum physics or things like that, you say, you know, we are all energy. And so we're connected to all energetic things, right? And so when you understand that concept and you say, well, I'm connected to everything, and you close your eyes and you feel a connection to all living things, the whole universe, the world, you know, here's the thing with energy, music, right? We're into music because music is energy, right? When you meet a person that you don't like, you say, I mean, that guy gave me a bad vibe. What is a vibe? A vibration, right? So you have energy, everything moving. You have a vibe, vibration. You have frequency. So if you turn your channel on your television from channel 4 to channel 5, it's a different frequency. And you get something different. From 5 to 7, you get something different. To HBO, you get something different. Cinemax, you get something different. So just imagine all these different frequencies that we have that we can tune into. As a matter of fact, let me tune out of $100 a day frequency, and let me tune into $100,000 a day frequency. Let me start asking myself that question. Let me Google, what jobs pay $100,000 a day? How do I make $100,000 a day legally? And you start figuring out, and you start focusing on that. So the point is, we all have frequencies. We're all connected to this universe. And when you close your eyes and just take some deep breaths to kind of clear your mind, you feel that connection. And ideas and thoughts will come to you in that time. It may take some practice to get there, to have the patience to sit there. And you can, you know, for some, it may be sitting in a garden. For some, it may be, you know, in a bed. It doesn't, you know, you have to figure out your own way. Sometimes I listen to some, you ever hear about, think, you know, ever hear like people doing chimes or heat or sound baths or chanting, right? Or prayer. Sometimes people pray. When you go to church, what is music ministry? I go to Zion Baptist Church on Greenbelt Road, and man, they got a music ministry that's banging. Man, they are jamming so much, and you get in that spirit, right? You get that energetic God spirit going in you, and you can get to a point. That's a great time for healing. So once we learn to use our energy and to tap into the frequency of the universe and the positive frequencies that we want to attract. You ever hear of the law of attraction? When you are on a certain focus or frequency, you start to attract that which you are thinking of and focusing on, good or bad. And so your words, just like I said, how it's very important how you see yourself, it's very important how you talk to yourself. What is your self-talk? Because when you're saying something, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Man, I got bad luck, man. I tell you what, I can't win for losing. Everything I do turn to doo-doo. I just gave up. And that person have bad luck and bad luck and bad luck and bad luck. Another person gets up and says, I'm the luckiest person alive. Man, I tell you what, everything I do turns to gold. I'm just so blessed. My family's great, and I got my health, and you're grateful and your gratitude. And that person always has good luck. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, your self-talk. Start paying attention. What did I say earlier? Awareness and intentionality. And say, wow, you know what? I'm kind of negative sometimes. I'm kind of putting myself down. Let me intentionally turn that around and start to uplift myself. Let me look in that mirror and say, man, you know, you're going to do great today, man. I just know it. You're going to be great. You are great. God made you great. You know, so lift yourself up with your affirmations. And I had a group of teenagers around me last week, 14-year-olds. And, you know, they're coming in there like kids, and they're just busting on each other, man, cutting each other down. And you jump shot, ain't nothing, man. You can't get that girl. And they're horsing around. And I said, all right, I get it. Y'all are friends, and y'all having a good time. I said, but let me tell you something. I said, the world is already talking crap about you and beating you down. Why don't you start to lift each other up? I said, we're going to play a new game. It's called the compliment game. Instead of busting on each other, start complimenting each other. Go home and pay your mom or your dad or your grandma a compliment, right? Pay people compliments. And guess what? When you do it, see how they react to you and see how that makes you feel. There's a power in a smile. There's a power in this energy. What is a smile? What is a frown? It's a grit. It's energy. What is the energy you're exuding? Another saying is, we don't get what we want. We get who we are. So you have to become success. You have to become happiness. You have to become peace. And this is the journey, this is the self-discovery journey. You know, when I sit down with folks, I say, you know what? I know you're looking to me, but I can't help you. I can't make you more money. I can't make you, you know, more happy. I can't get you the girl you want. I can't do any of these things for you. But guess what? You can.
So before I let you get out of here, man, great information, man. You enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
Having a ball, man. Having a ball. All I want to do is talk to my people. This is my new journey. This is what I'm doing for the next 10, 12 years.
Got you, man. So before I let you get out of here, man, I want to know, how do we as Black men go from survival to significance?
By working on ourselves, by recognizing what God has given us, by recognizing it, by accepting it, and by building ourselves up. We have so much potential. It's already in us. All we got to do is help bring it out of us. All we got to do is tap into it, tap into the knowledge that's already there. We were born with knowledge. We were born with truth. We were born with strength. But can we enhance it? Sure, we can enhance it. You know, I mean, if you said Michael Jordan was born with that will and determination to win, but he kept on working on it and enhancing it and improving his skill around it. He found his purpose and he found his passion. And he served us all by allowing us, you know, I mean, see, everything is service and everything makes money. Everything is service and everything makes money. Doesn't matter if it's this napkin or this computer or this juice or this shirt or your basketball or your art or your rap, everything is for somebody else to enjoy or to get a benefit from. And guess what? They pay you for it, right? And it just so happens, one of the principles of money that people don't realize, and I don't say it from a money perspective, it just happens to be true, is that the more service you provide to the more people, the more money you make, right? I can serve one person a chili dog, or I can serve, or I can open Ben's Chili Bowl and serve 1,000 people chili dogs, or I can open up a chain of chili bowls and serve 10,000 or 100,000 people chili dogs. Or I could put it in a giant and serve 1 million people chili dogs in the grocery store. Create your brand, your product, your music, your art, whatever you have to offer, and then you figure out how to scale it so that you can, not so that you can make more money, so that you can help more people. And the more people you help with your product, your service, your gift, just so happens to be the more money you make. That's just a life principle. Universal truth.
In the community that I live in, I do a lot of mentoring. I do a yearly turkey drive. This will be our third annual Black Men Sundays turkey drive, where we, give turkeys to the families of the Boys and Girls Clubs. We've done four clubs, over, 400 meals. So, how important is mentorship in 2025?
You know, different levels of mentorship, right? I mean, everybody, people you don't know can be a role model or a mentor, like I said, Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. I mean, to me, those guys have given me so much inspiration. Bruce Lee, Jimmy Head, whoever your guys are, right? They give you inspiration, and just like you give inspiration to people who don't even know you from doing your podcast, right? But then there's personal mentorship where you actually have an individual, a human being in front of you who you can mentor, a young man or a young man who you can. And so this. Let me just say this too. This is the 30th anniversary, Corey. October 16th is the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. Many of our younger viewers may not know what the Million Man March was, but that Million Man March, 1995, when Reverend Louis Farrakhan brought 1 million black men to Washington, D.C., with a message of reconciliation and you know, helping healing brothers and helping them to restore themselves and make amends for anything they've done wrong. All these things are what we're talking about. And it's really lifting each other up, right? Each one teach one, helping each other up. So I believe when you open this podcast by saying the Black Ascension Movement, that's what I envision. That's what I want to push for each of us, for me to scale my message so that you can teach it, so that people in other communities can teach it, so that we can all grab a youngster, our next door neighbor, our nephew, our cousin, our grandson. It doesn't matter if you know a lot of these principles. Shore up on them, practice up on them, and guess what? You'll get a benefit, but you'll really be able to help mentor the younger person and help bring them up. That's, you know, and I very intentionally put this to black men and boys as you have in your podcast. Why? Because number one, we're black men. Number two, no one is focusing on, not enough people are focusing on the young black men and boys. And if we don't, nobody will, and they'll be lost. So, you know, but this 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. Louis Farrakhan sat up there, by the way, in 1995, and he talked about Martin Luther King in 1965 and said, how far have we come as black people from 1965 to 1995. And their metrics of, net worth and income and joblessness or whatever the metrics are you want to go, housing, marriage, family. And we had not gone anywhere, essentially, from 1965 to 1995. If you now go 30 more years and go, where have we come to 2025? It's going to be about the same. Maybe gone backwards some with Trump and the administration. So there are a few of us doing very well, and they're brilliant people, and there's some people who are killing it, but we're leaving many, many, many people behind. And on an average rate, we're not doing well at all. And we have, if we, it's up to us who have some knowledge or who have some resources to help to reach back and help and uplift, or nobody will. So that's my message. That's why I'm sticking with it. I love all my brothers, and I'm here to help. I'm here to, I really ask Corey that, in a way, it's as you mature in life, you say, one way for me, like I don't have a big ego, really, and I don't enjoy. I'm not the guy who wants to get on Instagram and do 100 selfies and this type of stuff. I don't have that type of personality. But I'll say this. I say, you know what? If that's what it's going to take for me to help my brothers, then I'm going to do that. I don't want to get on stage in front of 1,000 people and talk necessarily for me. But I say, you know what? God, because I recognize what you've put in me, because I recognize the worth that you've given me and what I'm here, I say, you speak through me. Let me be the vessel, right? So if each of us, sometimes we have to find our way of looking at things, whatever works for you. I say, really, that's why I say it's a spiritual thing, because if you realize what you're working with, if you realize that you're a miracle and the gifts God gave you, I don't care what happened to you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what people said about you. You still have tremendous, tremendous value. Everybody. I don't care if you've been incarcerated. I don't care, what you've done in the past. You have value, real value. And you have to recognize it first before anybody else can ever recognize it. If you don't love you and lift yourself up, nobody else is gonna. So I'm here to help lift you up, but we all got to do that for ourselves.
How did you transform the generational business into a personal legacy?
Well, I think that, like I said, the business is the business, meaning it's Ben's Chili Bowl. It's our family business, mom and dad. I'm the brother who came in earliest and have been there the longest on the day-to-day business. I had a passion for the business. My younger brother went to law school. He came into the business and he has a whole nother skill set. He's able to do all the tech and all the things I can't do. And we supplement each other and complement each other. My older brother came in much later and he's the artist in the group and he's very creative and he does all the graphics and the different things. And so you have the business, the family business, and the legacy that it means to Washington. I mean, we really don't even consider it our business. We consider it Washington's business. If I sold Ben's Chili Bowl, I'd have to be run out of town. I'd have to relocate. This belongs to the people. And so we're stewards in a way, And if you think about things my dad used to tell me, he said, son, nothing lasts forever in this life. Nothing lasts forever. He said, so people are so attached to things and holding on to things. I said, there's something that goes on the internet that says 100 years from now, your house won't be in your family anymore. None of your cars, none of your possessions. You said, most things do not last a generation, 100 years. But that being the case, you each have this spirit and you each have what you can do and what you do and your contribution. And I think it's up to each of us to not, no matter if it doesn't matter if you can be working at a job and still decide what is your contribution. I mean, you have a job. You've been working with, the news and TV shows, et cetera, producing, but you did this separately, right? You did this separately. Something called you to do this. Something can call you to write, to paint a picture, to write a book, to write a poem, to inspire other people. And guess what? This is another one I want to tell you guys, because I tell the kids, I say, do you know how hard it was for other generations, even though these things all still existed, everything I said on this podcast was true 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 500 years ago. I said, it's easier than ever right now. I said, why? Because you don't need $50,000 to go to Howard. You don't need $500,000 to go to Harvard. Every piece of information is in your back pocket. It's the age of the internet. You don't have to run from city to city to sell your goods. You can put them online and sell them to the world. How easy is that? There's an opportunity that exists today that has never existed before. So for kids to say, Yeah, there's no opportunity for me. I just got my, I didn't even get my GED. I don't care. Start learning. Pick that thing up and start learning. Start learning. Start with 30 minutes a day. Get to an hour a day. Turn off that television. Turn off that video game for a minute that's making somebody else some money. Turn off that football game that's making somebody else some money and start making you some money. Start building yourself up. Start learning and growing and seeing what you have inside of you. And you'll go, wow, you do that for a week or two? Them kids will go like this. I had no idea I was this smart. I'm getting better and better. But you just pick what you like. Study what, don't study what I want, what you would study whatever you like. And you'll wake up 2 weeks later and say, they can't even stop me now. They can't even stop me because I'm just going to keep on learning. I'm just going to keep on growing. Look, there's money coming my way. My life is coming for me. It ain't hard. It ain't rocket. It's going to take a little discipline. Take a little discipline to turn that football game off and start learning. Take a little discipline to be reflective and say, what do I really want? I asked the kids, I asked mine the other day. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what kind of house do you want to live in? So would you like to live with your mom in an apartment in the hood for the rest of your life? Is that what you want? Or would you like your own apartment? Or maybe you like a small house. Maybe you want a big house. Maybe you want a mansion. Maybe you want to live on the beach. Or maybe you want to live in off the coast of Italy. What do you want? It's not for me. What do you want? What kind of car you want, by the way? You want to keep riding a scooter? Walking, taking the bus. Nothing wrong with taking the bus. Maybe you want to take the bus. Or maybe you like to have a new Maserati, Ferrari, Rolls, Bentley, Lexus. You tell me what you want and really get understanding about what it is that you want, and then you can go get it. It's all here for you. If you believe in yourself, in God, and in your ability to learn. That's it, man. That's it.
Wow, there you go, man. Ben Ali, man, you ain't come to play. I'm loving this conversation, man. I appreciate you,
Appreciate you,
man. I
man.
appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays. I'm gonna have to see what these Ben's Chili Bowls talking about. I haven't been home in a while. I haven't been to the DMV. I'm from the Hampton Roads area, Southeast Virginia. I'm gonna have to come check out a Chili Bowl, my brother.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. You know what? You look at the picture of the people who've come in there, everybody from Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle. Last week the kids surprised me with one. There was a guy named Speed. His eyes show speed. So he's the number one, streamer across the world with 40 million followers. And he was in the Chili Bowl hugging up on mom and having a good time eating the chili. So we get everybody in that Chili Bowl. We love it. It's a crazy and fun place. And we have a ball, and we're gonna have a ball teaching our people and growing and creating love and a great vibe in people and humanity.
Love it, man. Hey, thank you for your time and thanks for coming on Black Men Sundays, brother.
Oh man, appreciate you, bro.
Oh,
God
yes.
bless. It's a Black Man Sunday.